All right, Julie, your turn to sing.
Joy to the world.
That works for me.
My son told me to never sing on the radio again. No, my brother, Bradley, told me to never sing on the radio again.
Well, that's not a good way to start the Parkland Perk Up show now, is it?
I've just messed up because I wasn't supposed to sing on the radio.
Well, we're bringing joy to the world every chance we get. Thank you, Three Dog Night, for helping us with that today. It's a special edition of the Parkland Perk Up Show. Thank you for joining us, by the way.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a joy to be around you, Mark Toady.
And Cindy, wherever you are, we hope you are enjoying your... What is her thing this week?
Today, she's out hiking somewhere with Matt on a beautiful day.
They picked a good day to do it.
Yes.
Well, today is not our usual Parkland Perk Up Day, is it?
No, because we normally have some pretty extensive outlines and notes. And I'm feeling a little naked because I just have one sheet of paper here that has some notes on it that are some verses that I want to bring up later on.
Well, today is a bittersweet day for you.
It is. It is. And you know what? Corey is in Seattle right now, and hopefully he's able to be listening in online, waiting for his airplane. But
Corey,
my husband. Yes. So there's probably at least a couple people out there in the world that don't know me or my husband. And so today is the 12th anniversary of when our daughter Emma passed away. And a lot of people in this community were really big parts of our lives during that time of our lives. And, you know, we are so grateful that we had such an amazing community, and our family and my parents were like the absolute rocks to help us through all that. But some people don't know the story of Emma. And, you know, there are a lot of people that find it difficult to talk about their loved ones who have, you know, passed on, and especially those parents that have lost children. There are some that really find it difficult to talk about their kids because it makes them very sad. But what I find is that I really like talking about Emma because she is still my daughter. Still a huge part of our lives. And even though she's not here physically, I know that she is so much happier. But she was 3 months old, April 30th, 1999, when she stopped breathing. And she suffered a traumatic brain injury because she had oxygen deprivation. And it was somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes that she wasn't breathing. And we were very thankful that the childcare provider that was taking care of her that day knew infant CPR and was able to keep her from completely leaving us that day, and the Farmington Fire Department and Dr. Winder at Mineral Area Hospital and all of those people that helped keep our Emma here. But that was the day that we lost our original Emma, you know, the little girl that was born and that we had all these hopes and dreams for, of one day being the little girl that goes out on dates and goes to prom and is a cheerleader or a gymnast or a dancer or whatever, and, you know, has this amazing life ahead of her. And then, bam, you know, we have new Emma. And so we spent a lot of time at Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital in St. Louis. And I started referring to it as Cardinal Glennon Resort and Spa for Emma because she was there a lot. And I'd say we're going back to the resort, Emma. But, you know, so there was that grief that we didn't even really recognize at that time as losing that first daughter and having the new daughter. But then there was also that loss when she actually passed on 12 years ago today, which is still just shocking to me that she should have been 20 years old right now. She should have been in college. And it is just so odd to think that this is where life has taken us. And so whenever I meet someone new and they're like asking me about my family and how many kids I have, and, you know, and I say, well, I have a son who's 22 and he's just graduated from college recently and he's moving to Colorado. And then I have a daughter who's in heaven, and everybody just, you know, their faces drop. They look sad. They look down. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to, you know. And I'm like, you didn't mean to what? It's okay. It's okay, because I know that Emma is free. She's free. And that's what I think we have a lot to be thankful for, is for those of us in the world today that know that there's hope, that this is not all there is. It cannot possibly be all there is. We are all connected in this giant family across the universe of people that are pulling all together, and that we cannot assume that this is the end. And so we know that there's hope, and that I know that Emma is in heaven. So that makes me joyful. It also is very interesting that I've been learning in the last couple of years, but mostly in the last few months, a lot about myself and how I did not really deal very well with sadness when she was alive. And so, you know, this show today is not about do as I say or do as I do or here's the good way to live your life. This is just, this is how I've done my life, but it's not necessarily how anybody else should do it, because I tended to block a lot of emotions. I don't know if you've ever had this scenario, Mark, where you've had to focus so much on something that if something sad or bad or, you know, tragic sort of jumps in your path, you just have to like shut it down and go on and finish the task at hand. Well, that's kind of how 8.5 years of my life was, because that's, you know, that's how it was on a daily basis, was I didn't take the time or allow myself to have that sadness while Emma was alive, because I felt like I couldn't, because there was so much to keeping the household running, and it was up to me. I felt on, you know, everything on my shoulders, which of course it wasn't, because Corey was amazing and my mom and my dad and everybody, but that's just how I dealt with it.
What happened to Emma in 1999 was a tragedy. How you dealt with it, how Corey dealt with it, how your family dealt with it is a story of triumph to me.
Well, you know, it's a good story. It's a really good story, because a lot of marriages don't withstand something like that. So I'm very grateful that we were able to, you know, stay together as a good team, a partnership. And it's not that, you know, our situation is worse than or better than someone else's. It's just what life throws at you, right? And you learn to navigate these things. But sometimes relationships completely fall apart when there's so much stress. And so, and that's one thing too, you know, thinking back to where Emma never knew any different, because she was so little when that happened to her. She didn't know what it felt like to run and to play. But I always felt like, wow, how sad would that be to be able to watch your big brother running around and playing and being goofy and thinking, well, why can't I do that? But she probably never even had that in her head. She wasn't able to, or even if she was able to think like that, she wouldn't know what it was like anyway to have been able to do it and had it taken away from her, because she was in her own body having her own experience. And there are some people that were very close to Emma that always, well, one person in particular that said that she could just feel angels around Emma forever, like her whole life. And I think that's an amazing gift to be able to feel that when you're in someone's presence. And so I just know that she had that connection to heaven from the time she was here. And she had a purpose. She had a purpose here. And I feel like that's true of everyone. Like, you know, Dwayne Thomas, today is his funeral, and he was a pillar in our community and in our church. And anyone that knows his family knows that Dwayne was the man, you know, and everybody's joyful that he's now free from his earthly body to go on and continue his life where he can be the most amazing Dwayne ever, you know.
you mentioned that some marriages don't withstand what happened with your family, and there are a lot of families that something like that happens. The child gets sent to a home or an assisted living center, you kept Emma with you, and she was your daughter. If you were at church, she was at church.
Well, she didn't make it to church very much because
I saw her there a few times.
It was really hard to get her out of the house. You know, she had a lot of equipment, a lot of baggage that had to go with her, and it was not always really comfortable for her to go places, and we were kind of afraid. We were afraid to take her places.
Well, my point is you did your best to make her as normal as she could possibly be under the circumstances.
Right. And we did try, and you know, now I see other families that have kids that are in very similar circumstances medically, and they're going and doing so much more with those kids than we could have imagined. And I am so happy for them that they're able to do that. And there have been some advances in some equipment and, you know, smaller things to, you know, take with you that you need. But, you know, there are some families that I just think they're amazing what they're doing. You know, one thing at the hospital, before we left the hospital with Emma that very first time, they said, you know, they bring in the big guns, they bring in the social workers, and they bring in all these people, and they're like having these heart-to-heart conversations with you. And Emma was really devastated. I mean, she was devastated. And it was scary to look at her little tiny body with all the things that were connected to it. And, you know, they told us, when you leave here, when she's discharged, you may want to consider putting her in a home because most marriages will break up. It was some horrible amount, like 90% or something of marriages. And Corey and I just looked at each other like, are you kidding me? You know? And so we kind of laugh about it. It was kind of a joke, and I hope he's listening right now, but we had a death pact. It was, you know, pretty much you leave, you die, because you're either going to die of guilt, either one of us. If we had left, we would have died of guilt for leaving the family. But it's like if you leave, one of us will hunt the other one down because we are in this together no matter what.
You didn't let this situation define you. You kind of channeled your grief and everything else. And it sounds like what you're saying is it helped make you in a lot of ways a better person.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I don't know who I would have been without this, but I can say that during the 8.5 years that Emma was with us, I wasn't really a very nice person all the time. I was very stressed out a lot. And so I had a very short fuse. Things were very tense a lot around me because I felt like I had so many things that I had to make sure happened, because lives depended on it, literally. And so if something was getting in my way, I would knock it down quickly and move on without a lot of warm, fuzzy, comfortable emotion around it.
Well, you know, you were talking about how you and Corey dealt with it, but you also have a son, Ian. Mm-hmm. And you two are adults dealing with this. It must have been something altogether different for him as a young child himself coming to grasp with this.
Well, and you know what? When he was a kid, he was 2.5 when his little sister first, you know, turned into something different. And so I really don't know how that plays out in his psyche today and what it did then. But when she was with us, he was the best big brother. I mean, he, you know, loved on her and read her books and played in front of her and, you know, just included her in many, many ways. And so we were really proud of him for that. And, you know, it's just an interesting dynamic, you know, when there's kids involved. And so I know that there have been families recently that have lost children in, you know, similar situations. And I hope that they are able to get those kids the conversations that they need to have so that they can, you know, develop, I guess, without any kind of lasting trauma.
Well, and that's kind of what we're doing here today. We have about 5 minutes left.
Okay.
The whole point of this was not to just totally focus in on Emma specifically, but to let folks know that life will go on once a tragedy hits, and how you deal with it can make your life a lot better or a lot worse.
Right. And, you know, and everybody deals with grief so differently, and there should never be a time limit on that for anyone. And it's sad that people have to work in their grief and mourning to like a work schedule. Well, you get 3 days off for a funeral. So you better be ready to go back to work after 3 days, you know, or whatever. You know, it depends on where you work, of course. And there are people that think, well, it's been 6 months. Shouldn't you be over it by now? You know, there's just things that people think. And I think we have to be very, very soft when we're thinking about other people and grant them the grace and the room that they need to deal with things in their own way. But I hope that they are able to find joy in their day and in those moments where sadness could completely suck them down into a hole. I hope that they find that if they get down in that hole, they can look up and they can see that there is light and they can work their way back up. Because people do, they do find that it can be difficult. And so, for good or bad, better or worse, I tend to be one of those people that if I can choose to be happy or sad, I will choose to be happy. If it's, you know, it's a choice for me.
Well, one way you choose to honor Emma and to remember her is a very unique way, a little butterfly garden in your front yard.
Yes, yes. We did that a few years ago. Corey did some landscaping out front. And, you know, that's something, butterflies are always kind of a symbol when somebody passes on that, you know, you feel like when a butterfly is near you that it's a reminder of your loved one. And so we had lots of butterfly clothes for Emma when she was alive, you know, lots of butterflies here and there. So it's just been this ongoing thing, brick at the butterfly house with her name on it in St. Louis and things like that. So yeah, we love having the butterfly garden. So that's something too. If you're trying to remember someone in a happy way, find something that will bring you happiness, that will make you smile. I do have a couple of verses that I just wanted to say. So these are Bible verses that I think, I don't know, they mean a lot to me. But one is from John 16, and it says, "You are now very sad, but later I will see you, and you will be so happy that no one will be able to change the way you feel." I like that. The Psalm 30, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in with the morning." That one's always a happy one. But this is my favorite one, and it's from Ecclesiastes. "And for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance," always.
You've kind of adopted that one as your own, right?
I have absolutely adopted that. Someone asked me yesterday, "Where's one of the happiest places for you?" And I said, "On the dance floor, always."
So we have about 90 seconds left here. Julie Powers, what would you like to say in closing?
Well, I would just like to say that, again, give everybody a chance to deal with their loss and their grief in their own way, but help them to find joyful things and to be grateful for the little things in life. Sometimes it's hard to do that, but, you know, wake up each day and start your day with something joyful. Listen to a joyful song. You know, watch something joyful. Put joy in your life. Don't just turn on the TV news and listen to negative things. Find something joyful, whether it's music or dance or taking a walk or reading your Bible or, you know, doing whatever it is that you do that makes you happy. Do it for 5 minutes and find that joy to start your day, and hopefully that will stay with you the entire day.
Fantastic story. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Julie Powers joining us today with our Parkland Perk Up Show here on KREI.